They are not of the world, as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. I sanctify myself for them, so they also may be sanctified by the truth. Jesus prayed that we might be unified in his truth, standing firm in the faith and strong in his word. In a world questioning the credibility of God's word, Christ's prayer is for his church to stand firm in unity and his word. This is The Answers Conversation, and I'm your host, Steve Hamm. We'll be answering the skeptical questions of our time, standing firm on the authority of God's word, and rejoicing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, we've been speaking the last few weeks with Brian Edwards and talking about archaeology and the Bible and particularly the British Museum. And we're going to keep a British flavour today. And actually today, this is not British. We have Bodie Hodge again with us and he's not British at all. But we're going to be speaking about his tour that he did in England, but specifically as he was going around looking at dragons. And dragons are actually really significant for creationists and for biblical creationists. And I want to talk to Bodie about that. Hey, Bodie, tell us a little bit first about dragons. Why are we so fascinated with them?
Well, dragons are incredible because they're mentioned, first off, in the Bible. They're in the Old Testament, in the King James, for example, 22 times. In the Geneva Bible and the Old Testament, it's 24 times. There's actually a couple of different words that the translators felt the need to translate as dragons. And, you know, you can find listings of that on the internet. Or if you happen to have a Bible search program, you know, pull up those translations and you can do a little searching there and take a look at it, which is exciting. It's kind of neat to see. You know, we're in this culture where people have been led to believe that dragons are myths, that they're not real. And yet that's kind of a new idea. It actually started to get going about 100 years ago. It's the first time people started to say dragons were myth.
Right. Okay. Now, but when we're talking about dragons, you know, we're talking specifically about things that we also have found. We found fossil evidence, and we don't normally call those dragons.
Now, normally when we dig them up, we don't call them dragons right off the bat. You know what we normally call them? We call them things like dinosaurs.
Right.
Or things like pteranodons or pterodactyls. Let me just give you an overarching understanding of dragon and how that would relate to something like a dinosaur.
Right.
Here's an easy way to remember it. And, you know, listeners probably appreciate this. All dinosaurs would be dragons, but not all dragons would be dinosaurs. Here's why. Dragon is more of an overarching term. It would encompass things like flying reptiles and serpentine reptiles and things like dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm.
But dinosaurs is a very specific definition. It is a type of land reptile that had one of two hip structures so that it raised its body up off the ground. That's the primary definition.
So what about large sea creatures, you know, that could be called dragons as well?
That's right, like a plesiosaur, things like that. Absolutely, they would be called a dragon, but not necessarily a dinosaur. Now, in a layman's sense, things like pteranodons or plesiosaurs, or sometimes we lump those in with the dinosaurs, but by technical definition, they're not.
Yeah, okay. Well, you went to England, and you toured around England. You have been fascinated with how dragons are depicted in cultures all over the world. You've actually got a book out too.
Yep.
And that is Dragons.
Yep, Dragons, Legends and Lore of Dinosaurs, and it's been a very popular book, actually. It's a great family book. People of all ages have a great time with it. It's got some of the flip tabs, but it's got a number of these different accounts of dragons, some of the petroglyphs, and, you know, where a dragon is found in the Old Testament, or some how commentators treated it and things like that as well. So it's a really neat book.
Okay, and if you come into the museum, too, our whole foyer area, the entrance part of the museum, is really got a lot of dragon legends displays all through it.
That's right. That's actually a recent display. It's been added. So if you haven't been to the Creation Museum in a while, you need to come back and take a look at this. This is a really neat display. As you go through, you see some of the dragon legends, some of the accounts, some of the depictions. Mm-hmm. And, of course, then you walk into the hall and you start seeing dinosaurs. And it's tough to miss that kind of a connection.
Yeah.
You know, here at the museum right off the bat.
Okay, so let's go to England. You have seen so many depictions of dragons around England, so take it away.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, it was exciting. I got there, and one of the first things I wanted to do was, hey, let's stop at some castles, see what we can see.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we'd zip by some castles. But I'll tell you the place that took it for me. When we were there in Leicester, which is kind of in the middle part of England, We went into Guildhall. It's basically where the mayor and people would do a lot of their public work, you know, going way back. I think the place shut down somewhere in the 1600s. You know, we still have things, you know, that had the date on it back in there. And it's kind of a touristy place where you can go through now and take a look. And they have this incredible library, by the way. But all throughout it, they have these different dragons. And I took a number of pictures of them. And you know what? This is the thing about being on a podcast. You guys can't see it, but Steve and I here, we can see it. We got some great pictures of some of these dragons. But, I mean, there were some beautiful carvings. You see it in fireplaces. You saw it on a number of different things right there in Guildhall. It is beautiful. And, you know, so if anybody has a chance to go to Leicester, that's one of the places I would suggest go right through Guildhall. Another place right there in Leicester, we went to Leicester Cathedral. And at the cathedral, you know, if you walk around, you know, think of the old-fashioned cathedrals and churches. You know, people were buried in the church, you know, and they have these fancy graves right there. And you know what? Beautiful stained glass. And you see things like St. George slaying the dragon. It's right there in the church. You saw a number of other little aspects of dragons. You know, you'd see it on chairs and etchings and things like that. It really is incredible to see that just right there in the middle part of England.
Mm-hmm. Now, talking about tombs, and I know that you're probably going to talk about this, but there is a very special tomb on the floor of a church in England that depicts a dragon, or at least a dinosaur.
Well, you know what? I totally agree with you. That's actually in northern part of England. That's at Carlisle Cathedral. Bishop Bell died around the year 1500, and he's buried in the church. And a lot of these graves, they would have a brassing that goes along the outside of it, kind of like a square that kind of outlines where the grave is. And if you zoom up to that and get really close to that brass etching, you can see all these animals. And you can identify those animals. You can take them to anybody. And, oh, look, hey, there's this, there's that. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden you get to a couple of creatures. You're like, whoa, that looks like a dinosaur. And there's actually three creatures on there that look strikingly similar to what we would call dinosaurs today.
So they're depicted with all the other animals that we see today, and somehow they're the only mythological ones on there.
For some strange odd reason. You know, what's interesting, we see that same thing with these other dragons. You know, there's other animals right there alongside it, lions and whatnot, and they were unique creatures. You don't normally find lions in England, so it makes sense why, you know, if somebody had a lion that they were showing around or that they had seen, or you know, they're going to make some sort of image or depiction of it. Yeah. Same sort of thing with the dragons. The dragons are right there alongside other animals.
Well, keep taking us through the tour. We've talked about there's a number of places in Leicester. And by the way, in Leicester is where we have our Answers in Genesis headquarters for the UK, if there's anybody listening and wants to know as well. But, where else?
One of the places that I went was Bath. You know, it looks like Bath, but we pronounce it Bath. You know, I found in England people pronounce things a little bit different than we do over here in the States.
Well, I pronounce it as Bath as well.
Do you? Yeah, I was corrected. It's Bath. It was actually a Roman settlement there in the southern part of England, and we got a chance to go in there. It is a fascinating place. If you go to England, that is you could go there, you could easily walk around and see all the sites, and you can see the Roman architecture. I mean, it is an incredible place to see.
It is. It really is.
And, you know, as we went down, you know, we didn't get a chance. You know, I was only in and out. Just to give you an idea on my tour over there, I think I spoke about 14 times in 11 days or 10 days, something like that. So you can see how busy we were. We got into Bath. We got a chance to walk around just a little bit and went to Bath Cathedral. Now, this is an ancient cathedral, and right there on the outside of it, if you look really careful, you've got a dog and a dragon that are kind of holding up this coat of arms kind of thing. It's incredible. We also saw a couple of other dragons throughout there, and we got a chance to walk around a little bit inside there, but just due to time constraints, we didn't get a chance to see everything. So if somebody's over there, they might be able to find some things that I didn't even see.
Well, in going through this, because I'm there often, and just seeing some of the pictures and the extent of pictures that you've taken, it's inspired me. You know what? I'm going to take a closer look at some of these places, because you often see dragon depictions on signs and things as well as you're going around. But you really do need to stop and have a look, and you'll see them everywhere.
Yeah, they're in quite a few places. What I like to see about these ones, some of the older ones that are in some different details, the different styles. You know, some of these have some similarity to some what we would call dinosaurs today. You know, others, you know, they look more like the wyvern, you know, where it's got the two legs and the wing kind of creatures, you know, very common for things in Europe. But, you know, I got excited. You know, when you go to England, You know, one thing you just can't seem to miss is the flag of Wales.
Right.
You know, you go right next door.
Right.
You know, they're all part of the United Kingdom. And the flag of Wales, that's an ancient flag. And there it is. There's a dragon right on top of that. And that is a famous dragon. That dragon, I think, is very similar to the old Mercian flag of central England. You even got some one-pound coins that have some of that same dragon on there as well. You know, so, I mean, that's the famous one. And so if you go to Wales, you're not going to miss that one.
Okay. And there's some wonderful tales, too, that are coming out of England that are associated with dragons. One that comes to my mind is Beowulf.
Oh, yeah, Beowulf. You know, there's quite a few. Beowulf is probably one of the more famous ones, at least over here in the States as well. You know, a lot of people are subjected to reading that when they're going through their schooling. I had to read it. And I'll tell you what, it was tough to read. And, you know, they got various translations of it out there. But Beowulf was famous for killing three dragons. Just to give you an idea, Beowulf is an Anglo-Saxon poem. I think they estimate that it was written somewhere around somewhere between 500 and 800 A.D., but the account might be just a little bit earlier than that, 300 to 400 A.D. You might want to check my dates on some of that. But, you know, some of that, of course, is estimate. But Beowulf actually was the king of the Geats. He lived in the southern part of Sweden. Think of Gothenburg or Geatland, some of that. And he went down to Denmark because there was this place that had been they were terrorized by this dragon. So Beowulf and some of his crew went down there. They were going to try to take out this dragon. And they get down there, and that dragon was called Grendel. At least that was the name that was given to it. And Beowulf ended up killing Grendel. And the description of Grendel is fascinating. It's got a very good description of it. You know, it's this big dragon-looking creature. Had smaller arms, had a big claw on it, and Beowulf was famous for ripping that whole arm off of that dragon, and it went back to its lair near a swamp, and they tracked it back there, and it had died in there, and that's when they discovered Grendel's mother. And they're like, oh, there's another one. So they ended up having to kill Grendel's mother as well. And later in Beowulf's wife, he actually killed a fiery flying serpent where he sustained enough injury where he actually died. Most people think they know right where Beowulf is buried. They're in southern Sweden. They know where his tell is. At least they're fairly sure about that. Mm. But the connection with that with England is the Angles and the Saxons were the ones who came over and settled a big portion of England there. And that was essentially the same language as what was being spoken in some of these other areas as well. And that's just where the poem had been preserved, was there in England.
So we see you can go through, whether it's poems, whether it's signs, whether it's cathedrals, museums, all sorts of things, dragons depicted, some very, very unique looking ones that look like the dinosaurs that we know about. And
yeah, so, well, even the one in Beowulf, just to give you an idea, that description, we have a dinosaur that we call Baryonyx, which literally means heavy claws. Description's almost identical to that of Grendel.
Wow. Well, just quickly to finish us off in this last segment, tell us, you know, what do we see in the Bible about dragons?
Well, you know, like I said, it's mentioned there in the Bible. Dragons, the land dragons, that is, they would have been made on day 6. Flying dragons, they would have been made on day 5. Same with the sea dragons. They would have lived side by side with Adam and Eve. They would have been living at the same time as man. Now, that might be unique to a lot of people out there, dinosaurs and man living at the same time. But nobody really questioned that until modern times when people tried to separate out man and dinosaurs. They would have survived on the flood, being land animals. Of course, the water creatures could potentially have survived in the water. They came off the ark, and they've been dying out for the same reasons everything else has been dying out.
Yep. And we see animals become extinct every day.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. And so there's really no mystery to it.
That's right. They're dying out ultimately because of sin.
Yeah. So when you use God's word, its history to understand the world that we're looking at, we actually are able to place what we see in the world in that history and make sense of it.
It really does. The Bible makes sense of dinosaurs and of dragons. And hey, guess what? Because the message of the Bible's history is true, guess what? The message of the gospel is also true, found in that same history.
And so whatever we're looking at when we use God's word and God's history, we can always point, at the end of the day, using anything to the gospel of Jesus Christ.
That's exactly right. We can use these dragons, missionary dragons.
Missionary dragons. Actually, Ken calls them missionary lizards, doesn't he?
That's right.
And they really are. Hey, thanks. What a great program. If anybody finds themselves in England, you've now got a new venture. Go and look at all the dragons that are around and think of how the Bible's history is true and how mankind has seen these things and depicted them later on as cultures matured. Hey, thanks, Bodie. If you want answers on this or any other subject, visit answersingenesis.org. That's answersingenesis.org.